I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com. Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. Our destination subject today is the unique preservation of television history. Karen Herman and Jenny Matz of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences Archive of American Television will join me for this particular excursion into the annals of classic television. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness psyche.
The Archive of American Television, capturing television history, one voice at a time. Today on the TV Time Machine, we'll roll out the red carpet as we present to you a very unique organization. Baseball has its Hall of Fame. Washington, D.C. has the Smithsonian. But Hollywood, California has the Archive of American Television. A division of the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, the Archive of American Television website, located at metvlegends.org, has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of television's legends and luminaries in the form of hundreds of priceless video interviews. On this edition of our program, we are pleased to welcome Karen Herman and Jenny Matz of the Archive of American Television. Ms. Herman has been archive director since 1999, and Ms. Matz is manager of digital projects and business development for the Archive, and co-founded with legendary comedian Bill Dana, the American Comedy Archives at Emerson College. Over the next few segments, Karen, Jenny, and I will crack open just a few of the more than 600 interviews conducted by the Archive, featuring TV legends ranging from Weird Al Yankovic to Alan Alda. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to step out of your stretch limo, feel free to put on your cummerbund as we slip from the restraints of the present and award you with television's past. And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Karen Herman and Jenny Matz. Karen and Jenny, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Karen, tell me your individual story of the path that you took that ultimately led to you joining the Archive of American Television.
Well, I was a writer and a magazine editor in Cleveland, and then when I came out to Los Angeles, I had also been an interviewer for the Shoah Foundation, which is Steven Spielberg's foundation for interviewing survivors of the Holocaust. And this project started in 1996, the Archive of American Television, and it was based on the Shoah Foundation's project in terms of exactly how the interviews were done, and even using the same crews and whatnot. And they had positions open, and I thought, well, this would be really cool. And they had no idea that I was with the foundation doing interviews already. And it was just a perfect match because I had the pop culture background, the television background, and also knew the methodology. So it was a nice fit.
And Jenny?
Following college, I worked in documentary film production for about 10 years, and mostly as a researcher and an editor, and largely for PBS. And then I decided to return to school to get my master's in library science. And while there at Simmons College in Boston, I sort of stumbled into a project that Emerson College was just beginning, which was the American Comedy Archives that you mentioned, that their alum, the comedian Bill Dana, wanted to found. And he and I went on the road for 2 years collecting oral history interviews about comedy. And Karen and I met during that time, and we realized there was a lot of similarities between the two projects. And then I eventually wound up here.
Now, Jenny, did you watch a lot of TV growing up?
You're stealing all our questions, Jim. I didn't watch a lot of TV growing up. My dad was very selective with what TV I got to watch, but I am certainly a Muppet Show child.
Right.
And I was always really interested in documentaries for some strange, twisted reason. So that sort of was in my blood, just historical programs and hearing people's personal stories. So I guess that's the sort of TV I was tuned into, plus, of course, Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
And I was a news junkie from early on. So that was my sort of exposure.
And Karen, what was the sort of TV that you enjoyed watching growing up?
Oh, I was much more into comedies. You know, Brady Bunch, All in the Family, Maude. Although all in reruns. Make that very clear. All in
right,
reruns.
Right, of course.
Yes. Never original, no. But yeah, it was mostly more on the comedy side.
Karen, what are your duties as director of the archive?
Oh my God, that's pretty much the whole thing. I mean, I am responsible for running the selection committee in terms of who will be chosen every year to be interviewed. I produce most of the interviews myself, and just all of the internal. Executive's duties of running, a part of the Television Academy Foundation. You know, it's a pretty substantial part of what the Television Academy Foundation does do. So there's a lot of things in that sense, and just basically trying to make it as good as we can and to get the materials out. The last few years, we've really spent most of the time developing our new website, metvlegends.org.
And Jenny, what are your responsibilities, especially in relation to the website?
Okay, so this is a one-hour interview, right? Okay. In general, my duties are to supervise the digital assets for the life of the tape from when it first arrives to our doorstep after the interviews are completed through the digitization process, the metadata creation process, entering it into our content management system, which I continue to work with, and then putting the material online in a way that's accessible and easy to find on our METVLegends.org website, and continuing to work with the content so that it's edited, it's curated, and it's cross-referenceable, so we are able to see people who all worked on a show such as the cast of All in the Family. We've interviewed everybody to do with All in the Family, and through the website you're able to see the similar stories about a certain episode or the show in general easier now than we were before when we just had the single interviews, which you could watch, and you still can, but you'd watch an entire interview that one person like Carol O'Connor would give, and now we're able to see really the comments play off each other a lot better, and it's just through this great complex system that we've created to do that. So it's a real fun website to move around and navigate.
Karen, what do you have to do to get these interviews? What is the process?
From the beginning, once a person is selected, we go out to their agent or manager just like you would for any other interview. But the trick is really to say this is a lot longer and more comprehensive than any interview you've ever gone through in your whole life. And that's really the trick, especially as we're going now doing more contemporary people. You know, asking for 2 or 3 hours of their day is a huge thing. When we were doing people who perhaps were retired, who started in television in the 30s and 40s and 50s, it was a little easier to book them. But now going into people who are working and current, it's a little bit harder. But so it's a lot of phone calls and a lot of scheduling and a lot of cancellations, but we get them.
Jenny, where are these interviews generally shot?
Well, they're generally shot in the interviewee's home or office. We're really lucky that way, that they usually provide us with a setting that's fairly intimate. And a few interviews are also shot here at the Television Academy in North Hollywood.
Well, one of the more interesting aspects of your interviews is the response you get when you ask the interviewee if they had any nicknames growing up, as we'll hear in this clip featuring Barbara Walters.
I didn't have any nicknames that I liked. I was very thin. I remember some members of the family calling me Skinny Malinka Dink. I didn't love that. But for most of my life, I've been called Barbara. I haven't loved it, especially because there was an entertainment program called Saturday Night Live with a wonderful woman who did an impersonation of me. And she was called Barbara Wawa. And I realized that Barbara Walters, my parents, meant well. But I thought I should have been named Babs Elliott. I thought that would have sounded much better.
Now, was that an unexpected response? And what kind of other reactions have you received from the other people you've talked to?
People are pretty open about it. Some people, because if it's a really bad kind of thing, they won't say, and they'll just say, I don't remember.
Right.
I remember Carol O'Connor said one word. He said fat, which was
Ooh.
A little bit jarring.
Ooh.
But for the most part, I mean, it really it gets people into the groove of what we're doing. Oh, this, you're really going back, and you're really getting the germs of a lot of their early years and what influenced them as a child going in, and then how that would fall. Go right into a career, and Barbara Walters actually answered it perfectly in that sense of fast-forwarding it to the Saturday Night Live sketches.
Well, our next interview clip features comedy legend Bob Newhart discussing the remarkable comedy writing featured on his classic sitcom, The Bob Newhart Show.
Emily and I take an IQ test, and hers is higher than mine, and I'm very distant. And she said, Bob, is everything all right? You seem fine. I said, no, everything's fine. Why wouldn't it be fine? She said, good, because, we have a perfect marriage, and I said, no, we don't have a perfect marriage. I said, a perfect marriage is where the husband and the wife have the same IQ. So the next perfect marriage is where the wife's IQ is 1 point higher than the husband's. I said, the worst marriage is where the wife's IQ is 152, and the husband's is 128, which is a difference of, 24. It's a great, great joke. Just a great piece of writing. Great piece of writing.
Now, Jenny, you've interviewed a lot of comedians, and you know a lot of comedians. Classic comedians, what are the differences in sensibilities between the old-time comedians and the new breed of comics?
Oh, interesting question. Yeah, I actually did interview Bob Newhart with Bill Dana, and I've interviewed a lot younger ones like Paul Rodriguez and Carlos Mencia. I don't know that there's a lot of differences. I was actually surprised when I interviewed for example, Carlos Mencia, how appreciative of the older statesmen of comedy he was and how much about them he knew. And perhaps that's not true for, the ones coming up through the ranks now, but every single one of them grew up on comedy. Every single one of them really invested themselves in learning the routines of the successful comedians before them. And in that way, they're really similar. They lived and breathed it and fed on it as much as they could. And every single one was influenced by another. There's not a single interview I've done with a comedian where they didn't list like 10 people who directly influenced them. And and I guess as a whole, as a group too, they're just much more thoughtful and serious-minded than you would expect an interviewing comedian. Most of the comedian interviews aren't that funny.
Right.
With, you know, that exception of Bob telling a joke and delivering it perfectly. But they seem to share that trait of very insightful and very thoughtful people.
Well, I think a lot of comedians, a lot of their comedy is derived from pain.
That's true.
If they had traumatic childhoods or, you know, dysfunction in their lives, that sort of thing.
We actually, in the Comedy Archives, do ask that question, which came from Bill's personal experience with that, which he called the Pagliacci syndrome, dance clown dance.
Right.
So very open about that. I don't think we encountered a single the only comedian who said they had not been suffering from depression was Tom Poston. The only person we spoke with. And it was really amazing to me when, I think possibly because it was Bill Dana asking the question, who they know. But everyone was very open about it. And they said, sure, that's the source. You know, the comedy is the sword through which you fight the trauma and fight pain. And I think for many people, the thing that caused them pain in their childhood is the very thing that drove them to comedy, because they realized that that was a defense mechanism and a way for them to get over it. So you're quite right in that.
Karen, when you meet a TV legend, how often do they match up with their on-screen personas? And are there any people who stand out for you that were the complete opposite of how you expected them to be?
That you know, considering how many hundreds over the years, that's kind of a tough question. I'll go back to Carol O'Connor, who you know, I mean, growing up with that Archie Bunker character, when actually meeting him, you know, and being greeted in his home, I mean, it was rather incredible. He's very different than you'd ever, that I certainly imagined. Very soft-spoken, you know, kind of a bit of a ham. When off camera, he was playing, he had done a record album of standards, and he was playing them and saying, yeah, do you know who that is? And then he'd start singing along. It was actually very, very, very charming. But again, he didn't necessarily match what you would think of Carol O'Connor.
So he wasn't calling people meathead.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Not at all. Not at all. Very thoughtful, very brilliant, very smart.
Well, we're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with Karen Herman and Jenny Matz of the Archive of American Television, who are traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.